Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers. Download the podcast. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Key. Good morning, Jay.
What's up, baby?
What's up? We have to pretend not to have said good morning already three times.
Well, every hour, top of the hour, different listener.
Top of the hour to you.
That same guy at six is probably, you know, doing some stuff.
That's right. No, all of our listeners listen for four straight hours.
Yes, that is
true.
The
research says.
That's what the ratings are through the roof.
Ed Orgeron in 10 minutes talking to us on the Goodyear Hotline. But guys, Thursday night football, talk about two teams. Is it a must-win for Dallas? Not exactly. Is it must-win for Saints? Not exactly. It is a pretty damn good idea to win game for both teams.
You know, when you say talking about two teams, you usually say talking about two teams going in different directions. They're both going in the same direction.
Same direction. Someone needs to change directions. You know what that means? Tie. That game's going to end in a tie. Thursday night football, listen, you see crazy things on short week. And I know Cowboys technically aren't playing on a short week because they played Thursday. This is their third game in 11 days. Keys, three games in 11 days. No offensive staff, basically, right? We saw what happened to the Saints.
No offensive line staff. Well,
right.
The head coach, the offensive line coach, the assistant offensive line coach are the three most important guys on the list that's missing.
Same thing happened to the Saints against the Panthers early in the
Not
year.
Good.
They got you know, run
Take it
out
to
the building.
Shit.
Yep. So, it on the other hand, they are getting, it looks like, right, DeMarcus Lawrence back.
Yep.
And they could get Amari Cooper back.
And C.D. Lamb.
And Jerry Jones said that he expects Ezekiel Elliott, Zeke, to get a lot of carries, to carry a huge load, which is interesting considering he's a little bit, you know, injured.
Game planning,
Coach
the owner's game plan.
Jerry Jones.
Coach Jerry Jones. Right, sorry.
You know, he likes to be called Coach.
Yes.
Yeah. Coach Jerry.
We refer to Jerry as Coach.
Key continues to say that something doesn't smell right with Sean Payton. And you think, Key, he could leave at the end of the season. Sean Payton still has a house in Dallas. The Cowboys are always big-name hunting, although Jerry Jones needs to be the star of the show. Should the Cowboys fire Mike McCarthy if they don't reach the Super Bowl and Sean Payton becomes available? Could Payton be coaching against his future team Thursday? Would Key make that move?
Wait, Key, Sean Payton has a house in Dallas?
Ooh. Yeah. Sean likes Dallas.
Put some yeast on it. Bake it up.
Extra yeast.
I know, really just germ it all the way up. Yeah. I would say this. It's not if he doesn't win the Super Bowl, because they may not win the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's called falling flat on your face. So you get everybody back. You mentioned CD. We mentioned Amari. We got Zeke. We got DeMarcus Lawrence coming back. We got pieces in place to make a strong run at this thing. We should win our division. And I'm saying we, as I am Jerry Jones. We should win the division.
Oh, this year?
You better win your division.
You better win your division. So if we win, we get one playoff game at home.
Yeah.
If we lose that playoff game at home and Sean, for some reason, becomes available, the reason that no one's told me anything, and I know Sean, and I could put him on speed dial and all that. He hasn't told me, I want to leave. None of that. I just know when you look at it, sometimes it runs its course. And he's been there, I think he's the second longest tenured coach outside of Bill Belichick with one franchise. Hadn't been in the Super Bowl since the first time they went to the Super Bowl. Hurricane Katrina years. That's so long ago.
Yeah, it's getting close to 15 years, right?
Yeah, so
13 years.
So when you start to look at that, you say to yourself, there's no Drew Brees. The top dog in Michael Thomas at the receiver spot didn't play for you this year. Missed most of last year. Alvin Kamara has been in and out of the lineup. Your defense is okay. At some point, do you look at Tampa Bay is getting better and stronger, and Tom Brady is getting younger. The Rams are okay. They're hovering. They whatever. Arizona's better than they were a year ago or 2 years ago.
Excuse me, Saints Super Bowl is 2010. It's 11 years.
Green Bay is strong. So you start looking at the conference and saying to yourself, do I have enough to compete with them? Or do I want to do something different because now I'm here and I'm bored at doing this? Every single year we either get knocked out of the playoffs or we don't make the playoffs. You know, and so at
some point. Or you don't wind up with Russell Wilson and you don't think Jameis is quite an elite type of guy. And you want to set the kind of sunset of your career up with a franchise quarterback.
And there may be some opportunities out there that sets me up where I need to be. The Dallas Cowboys gets me over the hump. The New York Giants got a few picks in place. Maybe I need to insert a quarterback, and maybe there's an availability for a few quarterbacks using those picks. They do have some pieces in place that was put there. I can now get full control like I got in New Orleans, in New York. I really necessarily can't get it in Dallas, but I got a great relationship with the owner, so we could kind of be on the same page, even though I was there with Bill Parcells, and I know he's a meddler, but I may be able to take care of that. I like being in Dallas. All those sort of pieces you put together, even though he's under contract and he's got a pretty nice deal.
Guys, even if the Dallas Cowboys, for some reason, win the Super Bowl, if Sean Payton's available, I'm still going to go get him.
Oh, yeah, I can't do that. If I win the Super Bowl, why would I need to go get him?
I'm still going because I want to win 10 more Super Bowls.
Dallas Cowboys will never win the Super Bowl. See, this is the real crux.
Now the Giant comes out.
No, this is the crux of the argument, Jay. You identified it. The point, the reason they're not winning is because they can only ever get the best name brand coach that they can find, or else Jerry's little find, right? Who's not going to demand control, who's not going to get a ton of credit if they win, and that's keeping them back, right? So that's why we're having this conversation, really, right? Remember when they hired Mike McCarthy? I was on First Take at the time. First thing I said was, this is a typical Jerry Jones hire. McCarthy, no one's banging down his door. He just lost his last job, but he's a name brand guy. He has some gravitas. You know, he's won a Super Bowl. That's the biggest name they could get that Jerry could push around.
Kind of came in licking his wounds a little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You see, you're not pushing him around. I think he's doing a good job.
But it's more so like the timing of catching him, right? Like, hey, I'm trying to put my name back on the map. You're doing me a favor. I can – a guy that will acquiesce to it.
A guy who it's okay for you to go on a radio show and make your appearance and say
–
right, and say – make your appearance and say, Zeke's going to have a much heavier workload. Hold up. Hey, Jerry, it's – what are we talking about? It's Monday.
Why, Jerry?
On Thursday, and you ain't coaching. Shouldn't know whether that's good.
But Jerry's always been that way. The only time I didn't see Jerry that way is really with Bill Parcells. Kind of – I think Bill said, you know what, if I take this job, your ass better not be nowhere around to be seen. That was the only real time – that I saw Jerry in the background. The moment that Jerry started getting back involved, Bill said, I'm going to retire again.
And that was the last time they had a coach like that.
Yeah.
That's my point.
But by the way, Max, this is who Jerry's been his whole life, right? Yeah. Like reading articles about him, people were saying at 9 years old, he had the gift of gab. You're talking about a guy that almost bought the Chargers in 1967 from a loan from Jimmy Hoffa. Like, this is who Jerry is?
I don't know about that.
I know about that. It's on 60 Minutes. You can
no, no. I don't know about that. I don't want to talk about that.
You don't
that.
Want to talk about that. Oh, sorry.
Forget about Jimmy Hoffa. But Jay, I hear what you're saying.
To sell, right?
I hear what you're saying.
So made his money.
This is the great. This is like a great philosophical question in sports right now for Jerry, because no one lives forever, and Jerry is old. Let's be honest. And
he's older.
He wants to live to see the Cowboys win another Super Bowl. And he wants to play with his shiny toy, which is the Dallas Cowboys. And the question becomes, at what point, because he wants it all. At what point does he say, I can't have it all? I'm not going to go to my grave without, and understand he has to give up playing with the toy in order to win the Super Bowl. What's more important to him?
I think they just hit a roadblock right now. They just hit something. They got a good team. Mm-hmm.
Usually do.
And, you know, they play, they run up against Kansas City shorthanded. The Raiders shorthanded. Denver caught them sleepwalking.
It's always an excuse for these dudes.
Thursday will say a lot about where their season's going to be, because you're going into New Orleans, and New Orleans is not at full strength. on the coaching staff or player-wise. And if you go down there and your performance is less than, now you really become worried about what the Cowboys are.
Meantime, the Saints, with a win, they're in the playoffs. Right now, they're not in the playoffs. With a win, if the end season ended today, they're not in the playoffs. With a win on Thursday, if the season ended, they would be. There's like a lot at stake here for both teams. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Speaking of coaches who have won a championship in Louisiana.
And the clock has run out. LSU is the college football national champion over the Clemson Tigers.
And I told you what them Tigers was going to do, and you did not want to listen.
15-0. This team is going to be mentioned as one of the greatest teams in college football history.
Go Tigers!
Ed Orgeron, former LSU head coach. Good morning, Coach O.
KJ and Max, what's up, man? How you guys doing?
What's up, Coach O?
All good, man. Everything's good. Good to hear your voice.
What's happening, Eddie O? How you doing? How you holding in there?
Doing good, man. I'm sitting here at the beach down here in Destin, just enjoying my first couple of days off here.
So you did you get a triple cheeseburger, a double cheeseburger? Which one?
I got me a triple cheeseburger yesterday, man. A Whataburger.
Coach, they,
some good eating.
This money in college coaching is getting, it's going next level, isn't it? I mean, what's your overall assessment of just watching how everything is unfolded?
Yeah, I think that, first of all, I think that Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly are two great hires at two great universities. The money is outrageous, but good for them that they're getting it.
And Coach O, when you look at it and you built a program at LSU and you left some players in place there, what type of job does Brian Kelly inherit from you to get things turned around to head back in that direction of championship caliber?
Yeah, I don't think it's that far off. I think that he's going to have to look at his roster. There are some deficits. We lost a lot of offensive linemen. I think that he's got to replenish his roster either through recruiting or the transfer portal. But there's some skilled players like Keyshawn Boutin and some great players coming back. He's not that far off.
You got to coach it at USC, who made a big hire this week. And by the way, you were doing well at USC. And they hire Lincoln Riley. What do you think about the hire specifically? I know you touched on it before, but what do you think about it?
Yeah.
Get a little more in depth.
I think, you know, I've been against Lincoln. I think he's run a great program. I think that he is going to do a tremendous job as long as he gets a fantastic defensive coordinator. And as Key can tell you, you guys can tell you, he has to find some guys that know how to recruit Southern California. Just like when Pete Carroll came over, we dominated Southern California. And it looks like, and just like when Pete took over Oregon, it looks like he's doing, Mario's doing a great job of recruiting Southern California right now. For me, for us, at Pete Carroll and myself and Lane Kiffin, Steve Sarkisian, we had to dominate California, and we did, and we won championships that way.
Coach, how are the challenges different at USC compared to LSU?
You know, I think they're very similar. I think LSU is in a much tougher conference. You got Alabama, you got Nick Saban there. You got to keep them out of your backyard, and you got to play in the SEC West. You got Auburn, you got Alabama, and then if you do win the SEC West, you got to go to the championship and got to beat Georgia or Florida. So I think it's a lot tougher conference, team in, team out. I think that USC you can regain dominance faster because of Southern California and the way you can recruit Southern California.
Ed Orgeron, former LSU head coach, national championship 2019 head coach, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Coach O, Brian Kelly takes over a program, clearly, and there's some assistant coaches that were left behind on your staff. How important is it for him to try and retain a couple of those guys, in particular the secondary coach, who is probably one or two in the country as far as defensive back coaches and recruiters go? How important is it for him to be able to try and maintain some of that?
I think it's very important. I think Corey and Kevin, if he keeps both of those guys, are two excellent coaches. They both played at LSU. They great Tigers. People around the state and around the country respect both of them. Anytime that you walk in the home with Corey Raymond or Kevin Falk, the parents immediately accept you. The recruits love them. So I think it's very important for him to continue the continuity. As you know, Key, you've got to recruit the state of Louisiana. That's where most of your great players are going to come from, and those two guys will help him dominate the state of Louisiana.
Other than sitting on the beach and enjoying your triple cheeseburgers, what's next for you in your coaching career? Are you going to sit tight, or are you just waiting to see how this thing unfolds?
Yeah, I'm just waiting to see how it unfolds. I'm not going to make a decision. I plan on taking the year off unless something comes my way that I can't refuse. And then I'm going to see where I fit after a year, you know. But right now I want to take a year off. LSU, Scott Wilbur was very good for me in my settlement. So I have time to think things out, and I feel comfortable with what I'm doing right now.
I mean, you buying triple cheeseburgers. Of course, the settlement was pretty decent, I would say.
Hey, I'm not living in Calabasas like you, okay?
Well, I mean, you'll be all right wherever you live, and you'll be just fine.
So, Coach, we got a heavyweight championship fight coming up in the SEC championship game, Georgia and Alabama. Bama, the underdog for the first time since 2015. How do you see the game?
Well, I haven't played Alabama for year in, year out. Saban's hard to beat. But I do think that Kirby has the team because he has a great defensive line. That defensive line is unblockable. I think he has a great defense. I think it's going to be a war. If I had to say the edge, I'd give the edge to Georgia, just a slight edge. But it's hard to count Nick Saban out. He's a champion. He's a winner.
Thank you, Coach O. Appreciate you jumping on with us this morning. Always great to hear from you.
Enjoy that sun, Coach O.
All right, guys. Hey, great to talk to you guys. Talk to y'all later.
Ed Orgeron. I could listen to Ed Orgeron talk about anything. It's like a
cheeseburger, sun, football.
Yeah.
He got a triple cheeseburger, not a double.
Whataburger.
Whataburger. Yeah. What a chain.
I mean, I like Whataburger if they're a sponsor. There's no question about it.
Wait, In-N-Out
but if
guy?
They're not a sponsor, yeah.
What are you, an In-N-Out
Come
guy?
Come on, Mark.
What's
Fat
your burger?
Fat Burger.
Yeah,
Fat Burger.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I go, I'm going Fat Burger.
Think about L.A., by the way.
We got a lot of burger joints.
Got a lot of real good burger joints.
We got burger joints for real.
Real good, like, they're not really fast food
burgers. No, they're not fast food
burgers. They're a cut above fast food. They're medium food.
We might give you some arugula salad
with your burger
on top.
When's the last time you had a red cheeseburger? Or are you having turkey burgers?
No, I eat beef. Okay. When I was at home, I had a burger. That's why I said I had smoked bacon on mine. I had... Blue
sounds
cheese,
so
jalapeno cheese.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Arugula salad instead of red lettuce.
I haven't had a real burger in so long.
We sit in these seats at 5:15 a.m.
A brioche bun, all that.
Yeah, we've been here since, we've been here for almost like a half hour before the show starts.
And if I remember correctly, the meat had three types in it. It had like tri-tip and then this beef, and it was all put together. It was right.
That sounds so good.
All right.
See, but we're all like...
It was the paper that they wrapped around split because it was just juicy.
He's like a gourmet chef, and Jay and I have very small, and so does Key, like very small breakfasts. We try and be like healthy in the morning. So this time of day, I'm ready to eat my own hand, and Key starts talking about cheeseburgers.
Get you a burger with some smoked Gouda on it.
Mm. Oh, no. Jeez.
So, guys...
so good.
Brian Kelly is leaving Notre Dame for LSU. And on top of that, Lincoln Riley is leaving Oklahoma for USC. Someone's going to have to take those jobs. It seems like the coaching carousel in college football, which now seems to include $100 million price tags for the coaches, is like the new normal. And we're going to get thoughts from a Notre Dame Heisman winner. That's next on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
A shocking move in college football as LSU is set to hire Notre Dame's Brian Kelly
as the school's next head coach.
Fuck LSU, your school!
Well, simply put, Brian Kelly's won everywhere he's been, and I think the one thing he doesn't have is a national championship.
My first reaction wasn't surprise. I can understand what is appealing about this to Brian Kelly.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Tim Brown, former Notre Dame wide receiver, Heisman Trophy winner, joins us now. Hey, Tim, thanks for jumping on.
Hey, no problem, guys.
What's up, Tim, man?
How you doing, Tim? You doing good?
Could he hear us?
Yeah, everyone
hey,
has
I'm
to
I'm doing good, Key. How are you, brother?
Good, man. Real good.
Everyone has to say hello. We can't just one of us say hello. We all have
no,
to say
yeah,
hello.
We all yeah.
Well, I have a personal relationship with you, man, so I want to say hi. To
I don't know. Are you icing? Hey, you icing Keys, you know, for some reason, Tim? What's he owe you money?
We played in the National Football League together. So,
how, you know, Tampa?
No, we didn't play on the same team. We played at the same
time.
Yeah,
I was gonna say that
same time.
Had
yeah,
to be the other one.
I think we might have been in the Pro Bowl together. I don't remember. Oh. I think we might have went to a Pro Bowl together.
Tim, how surprised were you to hear that Brian Kelly was leaving Notre Dame?
Oh, I was shocked, man. I really was. You know, I've been up to four or five games this year, and you know, I had a chance to talk to him several times. My son, Timmy Jr., is at Holy Cross at Notre Dame across the street, but he's working for the Indy football program. And, you know, so I'm getting daily updates of what's happening, man. And so what happened on Monday was not on anybody's radar for sure. And, you know, it was a little bit surprising, but at the same time, you know, it's college football, man. And these guys are always looking for a better opportunity. And he took that shot.
Well, Tim, why do you think he would leave, though, right before the opportunity to maybe get into the college football playoffs rather than wait to do it, because he's almost now has put Notre Dame in a bad position? What if they
real
do
bad,
make it?
Yeah, it's a tough deal, man, for Indy. You know, we got a lot of recruits around there that are obviously they're up in the air at this particular point about what's going to happen with the you know, with the situation, with the coaching situation. So yeah, I mean, you know, look, I've had a good relationship with Brian over the last 12 years, man. I'm trying to remain that way, but I am a little ticked that he left the university in a bad spot when it comes to, you know, you could have waited a couple weeks. So I know LSU wanted to get this thing done, so I get that, man. You know, it's a lot of money, you know, it's a tough situation. Let me say this real quick. You know, I think the problem that, you know, we have as Notre Dame guys is Notre Dame is a different place. It's a different place to coach, a different place to attend. And you sort of looking at these guys as, you know, they're Notre Dame men, but they're not. They're head coaches, and they're always looking for a bigger, better opportunity. And I think we just got sucked in because, you know, he's been there 12 years and things were going so well. And, you know, it's really, I think that's what's making it so much harder for people.
The reason I'm so stunned and shocked, Jay, Max, and Tim, is because he essentially has used Notre Dame as a stepping stone. Mm-hmm. People don't leave Notre Dame and USC's to go other places. They leave other places to go to Notre Dame's and USC. So it's that's why I'm like, Like, what the hell is he thinking?
You know what I was going to say, Tim? You know, for all of us athletes, when you get recruited to a school, like Key being recruited to USC, you being recruited to Notre Dame, me being recruited to Duke to play basketball, you sit down with these coaches, and they not only get you to buy into, hey, this is what my program is about, but they also get you to buy into, I'm going to help mold you as a young man. Like, what are your thoughts on if these young men, if chaos does occur in a lot of these championship games, may not be afforded the opportunity to participate in the CFP because Brian Kelly is no longer there?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough deal, right? You know, I know a couple of people who are on the committee, and, you know, certainly they're saying that, you know, him not being there, it's not going to be a decision, you know, if Notre Dame gets in that position, if a couple of teams lose this week or whatever, and they get in that position, that won't be the reason why they don't put them in. You know, of course, that's what they're saying, but we'll see if that happens. But, you know, the one thing that we feel as Notre Dame people feel good about, most people don't choose the University of Notre Dame because of coaches. I did not choose Notre Dame because of Jerry Faust, you know, back in the day. You know, I chose the school because I thought the school could help me once I was done playing, you know. My mom and dad told me when I left the house, hey, boy, no future in football for you. You go get that education to come on back home. And so that was my mindset when I went there. And for the most part, even though things are totally different now, you know, getting that Notre Dame education is what's most important. So we feel from that, you know, a lot of these recruits will stick around. But at the same time, you're probably going to lose one or two of them if you don't put the right guy in place at this particular point.
And when you talk about putting the right guy in place, talking to Tim Brown, former Notre Dame wide receiver and Heisman Trophy winner, of course, not to mention NFL receiver.
Hall of Famer.
Not to mention Hall of Famer. We go on and on. When you talk about putting the right guy in place, if the going rate is 10 years, $100 million for the top coaches, doesn't that mean that they got to be looking at Freeman or someone internally or some kind of, I don't know what you would call it, like in chess they would call it an asymmetrical strategy, something that doesn't just take the other programs head on if they don't feel, because obviously they weren't going to spend that on Brian Kelly.
No.
Tim, you there?
Lost him.
Oh, we lost him. Mm-hmm. No, look, he didn't give them an opportunity to match, so we don't know what they were going to spend. He must have felt that they were not going to match. He had about, from what I understand, he had 2 to 3 years left on his deal, and that was going to probably max it out at 60 years old. They didn't want to go out as far as Notre Dame goes. I mean, as far as LSU goes.
You think they'd do it for a younger coach?
You would do it for a younger coach.
Or maybe they just
didn't. No, because think about it. In the SEC, what's Nick Saban? Nick Saban's 60-something.
Saban's in his own.
Yeah, but I'm saying bucket, he's still. I'm talking about the conference. 60-something. Jimbo Fisher's up there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not like young dudes.
But Notre Dame may just look at this a little differently.
Well, because it's $100 million, 10 years. But if you're 40 and you are Charlie Weiss that got a 10-year deal, they did it for him. At, you know, I think the age had a lot to do with it.
I think you're probably right about that. I think also
Charlie Weiss got paid.
I think also sometimes they don't believe the market is what it is until someone goes out and proves it to them. So you could say, hey, this is what guys are getting paid. But actually, no, now we know because we've seen two deals now go down. It's 10 years, $100 million. Tim, you there?
I am. Sorry about that, guys. I don't know what happened.
All good.
Not at all. So
your new phone, too.
No, the question was, what does Notre Dame do if they're not willing? Do you think they are willing to play in that market to get a top coach 10 years, $100 million, or are they going to have to look for another way to do it?
Yeah, no way. No way Notre Dame is, you know, I think I was saying to myself, I guess, that, you know, Jack did an incredible job of laying out that this is, you know, the team is well built for the last 14 years. It's in the best condition it's ever been in. And, you know, I believe basically what he was saying is, hey, look, you don't have to, we're not paying a whole bunch of money to come coach here because, you know, this is not a rebuild or anything of that nature. So, you know, that's not who Notre Dame is, man. They're not going to pay, you know, top dollar for the head coaching job there. And even though they want the team to go out and play for national championships, right? But this is just one of the little twerks about Notre Dame that if you want to coach there, you know, you're not going to get paid, you know, top dollar.
How do you feel about that, though, Tim? Being Tim Brown, I mean, like being the one of the four or five faces of Notre Dame football for me, how do you feel that they don't want to step up like USC did, like LSU did, Alabama, some of the other programs that realize, you know what, for us to win national championships, we got to spend the money to get the top-tier coaches to back him and his assistants?
Yeah, I mean, Key, you know, I think, man, when you look at, I think Kelly was making $6-7 million, you know. I mean, it wasn't like he was making $2 million to coach at the university. So, I mean, if you had $7.5-8 million a year, then, I mean, I don't know if that's something you can shake a stick at, you know what I mean? I don't know if that's something you can say, oh, man, they're being cheap, you know. I mean, I think that's pretty good pay for a head coaching job in college football these days. So, you know, look, it's a privilege to go to the University of Notre Dame, and it should be a privilege to coach at the University of Notre Dame, whether you coach there for 2 years or you coach there for 12 years, you know what I mean? I mean, Brian Kelly walks away as an all-time leading winningest coach at the University of Notre Dame, so obviously he did some things right there, you know. But it's just the way it's always been, brother. And I guarantee you that, you know, Brian Kelly is not going to change, and I doubt if whoever is coming up next is going to change what Notre Dame has been about and what they stand for, you know.
Tim, let me ask you, if considering the money is going in this direction for coaches, Would you rather be a coach in the NFL or college football?
Oh, man. You know, the college football is a tough, tough deal, man. You know, I remember having a conversation with a coach one time, and he said, man, can you imagine me going? And he was an NFL coach. Can you imagine me going to a college, going to somebody's home and asking them to come play for me and them saying no? You know, and you know, so that's the difference between being in college and being in the NFL. You could draft somebody in the NFL and they don't have no choice but to come play for you. Yeah, that college thing, man, it's very, very tough. I got a couple of buddies who've done college, and now they're in the NFL. It's a big, big difference for them, for sure. And yeah, I can't imagine being a college coach these days, man. It's a pretty tough deal.
Tim, who should, before we let you go, who should Notre Dame pursue? You got Marcus Freeman on the staff there. A lot of people feel like he deserves an opportunity to make a run at it. But outside of Marcus, who you think they should make a run at?
You know, it's hard to talk outside of Marcus right now, Key, because, I mean, he has come in and done such an incredible job with the recruiting, man. And we're getting, you know, high four-star kids and even some five-star kids if they could look at ND. And it's all been because of him, you know what I mean? So I think, you know, unless Notre Dame has something, you know, I'm not saying he's the only guy out there for sure. But, you know, I know there's some talk about Fickell. There's some talk about the coach at Iowa State. You know, in my circle, I'm not on any board or anything of that nature, so I'm not a part of any official conversations that they're having. But, you know, so we'll see what happens, man. But if I know Notre Dame, they're going to probably do something totally different than whatever what everybody else thinks. You know, who knew about Brian Kelly 13 years ago, right? And even though he was a good coach at Cincinnati, it was Cincinnati, and nobody saw him becoming the head coach at the University of Notre Dame. So I'm sure they're going to put something in place, man. And we'll roll with it and try to support the next coach as best we can.
Mm-hmm. That's the great Tim Brown, ladies and gentlemen, on the Goodyear Hotline. Thank you, Tim.
All right, Timmy.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, Who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Ed Orgeron, former LSU head coach.
LSU, Scott Wilbur was very good for me in my settlement, and I feel comfortable what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're buying triple cheeseburgers. Of course, the settlement was pretty decent, I would say.
Hey, I'm not living in Calabasas like you, okay?
A lot of cheeseburgers with college coaching money these days.
Man.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers.
I bet you he coaches again. Maybe not as a head coach.
For sure.
But as a D-line coach, DC, somebody, you know, yeah, maybe even the pros.
He's a winning coach and giving the money in the game now.
But it's in his blood, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just what they do.
You can hear him literally just like refreshing.
Coaches coach till they fall apart or can't coach anymore. Because nobody will let them.
So, yeah, look, it's not so much that he takes the deal, right? Because that's a $95 million guarantee. People understand that. But it's the way it went down when Brian Kelly walked out the door, the way it went down. This is the question. Rank the worst things about his departure. Not the departure stuff, about his departure. Taking the job while he's out recruiting for Notre Dame. That's
one
possibility.
Well, a lot of coaches do that.
Okay.
A lot of coaches do that, so that's part of the coaching culture.
Texting the current players that he was taking the job at LSU, texting them after it had kind of come out on social media.
That's not a good thing.
Making college kids wake up at 7 a.m. for a meeting that lasted 2 minutes.
That's the worst thing
that's
so far.
That's the worst so far. Making it harder for Notre Dame to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't care about that. They don't deserve to be in the playoffs anyway.
Stop.
Well, I'm a Trojan.
I know
but
you are.
Let's say, Jay, let me ask you, because at least he admits that he's biased.
If chaos happens to work out and they have a legitimate chance and they're held back due to the fact that Brian Kelly is not there.
Because the committee, Gary Barta said, hey, not for this week.
Part of the portal.
Part of it is, do we think you've lost anybody that could have an effect on, you know, the competitiveness?
So it's not out of whack for Alabama to lose to Georgia. It's not out of whack for Michigan to lose to Iowa. It's not out of whack for Oklahoma State to lose to Baylor. Like, there are scenarios where you're sitting there like, all right.
Yeah, they can leapfrog into it. But the worst one to me is a 7 a.m. meeting lasting 2 minutes. Like, you ain't even our coach no more, man. What you waking us up? First of all, I probably wouldn't even gone.
Exactly.
To be honest with you, I probably
because you already
gone.
Know what it is.
Yeah, man, I don't need to see you. You got me coming here to this university for you, and then you going to bolt out, which I get financially, but I did go. And everybody always talking about, well, I went to the university for money. I mean, I went to university.
Freudian slip. I went to the university.
That is an incredible Freudian slip. Yes.
The academic.
We got him on record. We got him. Mark that down. We went to the university for the money. Should have never gave them the money.
Top four reasons to go to play college football. Let's rank them.
Oh, that was a line of the day. Use that in the promo opening tomorrow, please.
No, but that's that, in all honesty, though, you say you go in there because of the academics.
Yeah.
You really go in there for the coach. Because if the coach wasn't there, you wouldn't even be paying attention to the academics like that.
Well, there are a certain level of players that are like, all right, like, I get it. Going to, like, for me, I was like, all right, I love Duke is an incredible academic university.
Man, you went there to play for the basketball for Coach K.
I was going to tell you,
before
it was Coach K, I wanted to go to Georgetown because I wanted to play
for
John Thompson.
But that was also a good academic school.
And it just happened to work out that way. But it was John Thompson, right? So, yes, like there's a major portion of a lot of individuals that go there for the coach.
I think taking the job while out recruiting, as Key said, he's recruiting for Notre Dame, but I imagine if I'm Brian Kelly, I'm recruiting, but the emphasis of my pitch is going to be on me as a coach now. You know, so like I'm going to dot the I's and cross the T's in terms of I'm not violating any rules, and I am recruiting, but I'm going to have less of an emphasis on Notre Dame or an emphasis on me.
It's too late because the recruiting process didn't start on Saturday. The recruiting process started a year ago.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying what I'm actually saying in the living room.
It's hard for me. See, you're such a BSer, Max, that you think you can walk into a room and tell me all of a sudden it's about you when you've been telling me the last 2 years it's about Notre Dame and it's about the alums and it's about our support.
I wouldn't come out and say it. I would just focus on certain things.
Yeah, but it's too late now because you've already indoctrinated inside of this little pea brain that Notre Dame and USC is the best places to ever go. I remember when I went through the recruiting process, it happened. Cal was recruiting me, and Bruce Snyder and the whole gang was recruiting me. They switched and went to Arizona State. Now I never was going to go to ASU. But then they, like that, started talking about how great ASU was and the place and the weather and the fun. I was like, well, wait a minute, man. Last night you just was telling me how good Cal was. Y'all just beat Clemson in the Peach Bowl.
But that is a kind of typical thing.
You also have to understand, a lot of parents are hip to the game now.
Yeah.
You're getting recruited from a lot of different people. People
Uncle
got your
Johnny
handlers.
Johnny know what's up.
You got your agents. You got their runners. You got a lot of people involved now. They're all trying to hustle. So it ain't like you talking to parents who are stupid.
So the taking the job while recruiting for Notre Dame, that's kind of standard issue. So you're putting that toward the bottom of the four things.
Yeah, well, I am because it's just standard, right?
Texting the current players. See, to me, I think I would say the worst thing he did, it depends how it comes down, but if Notre Dame has a shot at the top four and they don't get in because they factor in the coach leaving, that would be the worst thing. Costing your team, the program a trip to the playoffs would be the worst thing. Of course, he got them there twice, so that that's pretty good.
That stings a little bit.
That would be the worst.
But I don't care because I don't like Notre Dame anyway. They could fall flat on their faces. For
we talking getting up at 7 a.m. I think would be second because you're getting a whole bunch of kids who could be up at 7 a.m.
I'm not trying to get up at 7 a.m.
I think texting, but just that's texting's bad too, man.
Well, I mean, God, like, you can't. Are you gonna individually call every single individual?
You wait until, well, I guess a group text, right? But you wait until it comes out on social media, and then you text everybody. That's not so good.
See, I know somebody that knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody that gave me the heads up when it was all going down.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was texting on our group text, I was giving us the information. It was in real time that the coach was actually in the living room talking about Notre Dame while the deal was happening with LSU.
Wait, Key.
We got 10 seconds.
How much did you get? For what? How much money did you get?
Oh, no, man, that was a slip about something that was going
Keyshawn,
on.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and how much you got, Jay? Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, back tomorrow with Frank
Gore.
Greeny's next. I didn't get anything.
Indicted.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.